Now, I've been speaking to you for 5 or 6 weeks about an old subject, but it's one that about 80% of the things that Jesus taught himself was his topic matter. And that was that he's going to go away, but he's coming again.
Yes.
And as I said, it may be an old story, but it's still true. I've read you, I think, the same quote every Sunday for about the last 5 or 6 Sundays where Brother Branham said, I don't care how many astronauts they put up there. They're still, the Lord's still coming.
Yes. Amen.
And why would Brother Branham introduce the thought of astronauts? You know, because we're so earthbound that it's hard for people to imagine that some of these days we're not going to just take an airplane ride, we're going to take a plane air ride.
Right.
And there's going to be a group of people that's going to come out of the graves.
Yes.
They're not going to be old people, they're going to be young people. And they're going to rise first, and then we which are alive and remain are going to be caught up with them.
Yes.
To meet the Lord in the air.
Amen.
And I think Christians believe that.
Amen.
And are looking and expecting that to happen.
Amen.
And that's what we've been talking to you about.
This
morning I'd like to begin by reading some scriptures where Jesus said this to his disciples. We'll go to John, the 14th chapter, and read the first 3 verses. Now, Jesus was at the Last Supper with his disciples, which, the Lord willing, we will observe communion and foot washing tonight at our 5 o'clock service tonight with a short message pertaining to this subject we're talking about, and I've entitled it Ready and Waiting, because I don't think there's a more important thing for us to have on our mind right now than to be ready and to be waiting.
Amen.
For this event that Jesus told his disciples is going to happen. So let's read John 14, 1, 2, and 3. Let not your heart be troubled. You know, there's a lot of trouble going on right now, but you can always think of this one. We're not supposed to be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you that I go to prepare a place for you. How many of you can put yourself in that you?
Amen.
You believe that when he went away, he's been preparing a place for you.
Amen.
Third verse. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again.
Yes.
And receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also.
Amen.
As I said, Jesus was in the upper room with his disciples. He had just practiced the Passover with them, the unleavened bread and the wine. He had just had the experience with Judas, identifying him, according to David, as the one who dipped in the sup with him. And when he got through with that action, he looked at Judas and he said, what you do, do quickly. And then Jesus turned to his disciples, and let's begin reading at chapter 13. And we'll start with verse 33. Therefore, when he was gone out, this was what Jesus had said to Judas, and Judas got up and left. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. You shall seek me, and as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, you cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another, as I have loved you, that you also love one another. Now, I think that it's important that we observe here that Jesus is telling his disciples something maybe plainer than they've ever been told before. Maybe there'd been something mentioned about him going away and establishing a kingdom. But here he leaves no doubt about it. I'm going to go away, but I'm going to come again. But I want to tell you something that's very important. You've obeyed the commandments, the ones that Moses gave you. But I'm going to give you something else new. You must love one another.
Amen.
Now, folks, I do not believe that there's a more strict commandment that God has given us that we need to adhere to.
Right.
He says, you love one another as I have loved you. We'll continue reading. Verse 35. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples. In other words, if you don't obey this, there'll be no way for anybody to identify you.
Amen.
But by this shall all men know that you're my disciples.
Yes.
If you have love one to another. Now, Simon Peter said, Lord, where are you going? Jesus answered, where I go, you cannot follow me.
Right.
Now, but thou shalt follow me afterwards.
Yes.
Now, I want you to know this sort of double talk here, but let's see what effect it had on the disciples when Jesus said it. Peter said, Lord, why can I not follow thee now? I'll lay down my life for thy sake. Jesus answered, will you lay down your life for my sake? He asked that in a question. Peter, you'd really lay down your life for me? He said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till you've denied me three times.
Right.
Now, how would you have felt if you were talking to Brother Branham or to me or to the Lord and he'd have turned and told you, you'd really lay down your life for me? There's not any of us at some time or another in our life haven't said, well, Lord, we love you enough, we'd die for you. We'd die before we deny you. But just like he asked Peter, would you really lay down your life for me? When the truth is, the rooster won't crow in the morning until you've denied me three times.
Right.
Before the sun comes up in the morning, you'll be denied me three times. Now, whenever we read these verses, I want to go back to verse 4 of chapter 14. He said, and whether I go, you know, and the way you know. Now, he just told him, you can't go. You can't follow me now, but afterwards. But four verses later, he says, whether I go, you know, and the way you know. Verse 5. Thomas, now remember what I said about Thomas last week? He's the one that when they were up in Capernaum, Caesarea, Capernaum Philippi, and they said, well, Lazarus is sick, and we need to go down there. Some of the disciples said, well, Lord, if you go, they'll kill you. Thomas is the one that said, well, if he's going to die, let's go die with him.
Right.
He was always the one that seemed to have the courage. I personally believe that on the morning of the resurrection, when the women came back and told them that Jesus was risen, the rest of them hid in a room, the 10 of them was left, and Thomas went out looking for him. Therefore, he wasn't there when Jesus did come into the room. But here Thomas again is saying, Lord, we don't know where you're going. That's what you just said. And how can we know the way if we don't know where you're going?
Yeah.
Now, you picture yourself, put yourself in this place. You're one of the disciples. And he's with you, and you've enjoyed being with him, and you've seen the supernatural and the miraculous. You just heard him tell Judas to go and do something, but you don't know what Judas is going to do because you really didn't understand the betrayal and the crucifixion and the resurrection. You didn't know those things. You look back on it now, and we can say, oh, yeah, this is going to happen. But they did not know those things. But here they said, Thomas said, Lord, you say we don't know where you're going. You say you're going, but then you say we will come later, but if we don't know where you're going, how are we going to know the way? Now, you have to remember these people are human beings just like you. They didn't know all the background and all the prophecies. They didn't have the New Testament.
Right.
They only had the experiences they'd had with the Lord. And Thomas is being honest here. Lord, we don't know where you're going, but yet you say we know the way. And we look at the next verse, or verse 7. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now, we quote that scripture. But picture yourself sitting there in that room with Jesus saying, I'm going to go away. You don't know where I'm going, but you're going to come because you know the way. And then he said, we don't know the way. But then Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth, you know him and have seen him.
Amen.
The next verse. Another one of the disciples speaks up. Philip. And he says to him, Lord, show us the Father. And that'll be sufficient. You say we know him and we will know him. Yeah, come on. Yes, Lord, we've been wanting to see God all this time.
Yes.
We've been wanting to see the Father. Show us. That'll be sufficient. Would you have felt that way?
Yes.
Verse 9, Jesus said, have I been with you so long with you, and yet thou hast not known me, Philip? What a question. They didn't have a revelation that Jesus Christ, that they had called Emmanuel, God with us, that Jesus Christ of the New Testament was Jehovah God of the Old Testament.
Amen.
You know, there's a lot of people that call themselves Christian that they still don't know that. I want you to know that is the mystery of God. Brother Aaron mentioned it this morning. Do you really have a revelation that Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus of the New Testament, was and still is Jehovah God the Father of the Old Testament?
Yes.
Now, folks, there's a revelation that you have to have with that.
Amen.
And I want you to know that those of us that follow Brother Branham's teachings, it's very important because that's the mystery that's to be finished.
Amen.
That's the mystery that Moses and Elijah will preach to the Jews.
Yes.
While the bride is at the marriage supper of the Lamb.
Amen.
They will get a revelation, an understanding. Their eyes will be opened. That this one that Christians have called Jesus of Nazareth was Jehovah God that they've claimed to worship all these years.
Right.
And when their eyes are opened, then that wild olive tree that Paul talks about in Romans will again see and be back in the place. Now, why don't they see it today? They were blinded that you and I could be grafted in. Now, this is a very important revelation. This is the revelation that Peter got when he said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, Peter, you never got that from flesh and blood, but the Spirit of my Father hath revealed this to you. And Jesus said, the gates of hell won't prevail against that.
Amen.
You understand that he's talking about a revelation. Let's go back and look at verse 8 and 9. I want you to see this. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that'll be sufficient. Jesus said, have I been so long with you, and you've not known me? Philip, he that has seen me hath seen the Father.
Yes.
And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Well, Philip, I've been here all this time. I and my Father are one.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Where does the Trinity come in then?
Right.
It cannot be scripture.
Right.
It cannot be truth.
Nope.
It has to be a man-made doctrine.
Right.
Now, if you want to look at it in church history, you can find that the Roman church, whenever they wanted the heathens to accept Christianity, they found the heathens worshiping the sun, the moon, and the earth.
Yeah.
And they had to have three gods. So they come up with Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, made it three personalities or three offices they started out, three manifestations. But through the time, they changed it from three operations, three manifestations, to three personalities, to three persons, until today it's the Blessed Holy Trinity.
Right.
And let me tell you what that is. Excuse the term, but it's vomit.
Yes.
It's partially digested food.
Amen.
A man will get up and say, Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, the second person. Uh-oh. That's partially digested.
Right.
Jesus Christ of the New Testament was Jehovah God of the Old Testament. That's Emmanuel with us. And when you say there's the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, three persons, somebody has to add that. So it's taking spiritual food, processing it through somebody's intellect or thinking or theology, and putting it back out, and it's partially digested food.
Amen.
I had some Raisin Bran for breakfast this morning with nice ice-cold milk. And it would have been delicious for anybody that wanted to eat it. But you wouldn't want it now. It's been processed by my digestive system, partially. And if I gave it to you now, you'd turn it down.
Amen.
But yet people will take the gospel.
Yeah.
Right.
And they'll let somebody partially digest it.
Right.
And give it back to them.
Yep.
And may I go, Father?
Yep.
Some people will take Brother Branham's message.
Yep. Come on.
That's right.
And say what he said.
Yeah, come on.
And we're to say amen. But then they add something to it.
Yep.
Amen.
They interpret it. They apply it the way they want it to sound.
Sure,
and you really don't want it. Philip continued and said, show us the Father. Verse 21. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father.
Yes.
And I will love him and will manifest myself to him. I think there is nothing more powerful than the gospel of Jesus Christ and his promise to his disciples and to all of us that we will receive the Holy Ghost and it will teach us what we need to know. And that teaching is that he has gone away to prepare a place and he will come again. Now, in this series of the coming of the Lord, I've confessed to you with Brother Brown's quotes that it's an old story. Your grandmother, your great-grandparents, your great-great-grandparents, if they were Christians, and they were Bible readers, they read about this coming of the Lord. There's been six church ages, and we're living in the seventh, the Laodicean. And in all of those ages, there's been a group of people that have believed in this coming of the Lord. Each generation has passed on. If it didn't happen in their generation, they've believed it'll be in the next generation. That's what we believe today. Brother Branham even says himself, I believe I'll see his coming. But if I don't, it'll be in the next generation.
Right.
If it's not there, I'll still believe it.
Yes.
But I will be there.
Amen. Right.
Now, if we look in the scriptures, according to Brother Branham, 80% of the teachings that Jesus gave about his own presence was about his return. Brother Branham, from 47 to 65, taught and said it almost exactly the same way every time, that there's three comings of the Lord taught in the Bible. The first one was when he came to redeem us. That was his birth. The 33 years of his ministry. That was the crucifixion, the week of the passion, his resurrection, and his going away. That's when he came to us as Emmanuel, God with us.
Amen.
In flesh. There's a second one that Brother Branham talked about, and that was when he comes to catch us away. Now, people have come along, and that word in the Greek, catch away, is reptu. It means to be caught away, to be snatched away. A catching away. Something to happen during that time. There's a change, a translation, a change from corruption to incorruption. A resurrection is to occur of all those that have gone asleep in the Lord. Now that one, Brother Branham said, is his second coming to come after us. Now he says there's a third one, and that's when he comes back in Revelation 19 on a white horse.
Amen.
With all the saints on white horses behind him.
Yes, sir.
To set up his millennial kingdom.
Yes.
And that's when he will come physically to this earth in a body. The second coming, the rapture, he will not come to this earth.
Amen.
After his bride. We will meet him in the air.
Yes.
Now, there's been teachings throughout church history for the last 2,000 years where you might say there's been a development or an understanding of this second coming. There's a lot of people in the world that they never heard the term third coming. They've got the second and the third together. They've got when he comes after us, when we go to the marriage supper, they never stop to think through or pay any attention that he don't come to this earth. He doesn't come back with his saints, but the saints go to the marriage supper with him. And there's a great controversy about pre-tribulation and post-tribulation, whether the rapture will take, this catching away will take place before the 3.5 years of the tribulation or after. They don't separate, that there's a group of people at the marriage supper of the Lamb for 3.5 years while there's judgment and tribulation on this earth that the world's never seen before. They don't measure the two times and realize there's two different things taking place at that time. But there's an understanding, I'd like to say. And that's the reason I've included this in the clarification. I'd like to make it as clear as possible what Brother Branham taught and believed about these three comings. The first one we don't have so much controversy about, because the Christmas story, the Easter story, they've been told, and people have held them and made traditions out of them, and Easter eggs and Christmas trees and Santa Claus that have come and muddled up some of those things, that people pay more attention to that than they do the birthday of Christ.
Yeah.
They've even got the time and the season and the dates wrong.
Yeah.
With the traditions of men rather than what actually happened.
Amen.
Brother Branham preaches a very good series on that, demonology and Christianity versus paganism.
Yeah.
Or paganism versus Christianity. He knew it was going to be controversial, so that tape he didn't release. It's another one that people get all confused about. And when I hear parents say, well, the little children don't understand, so we've got to do this for their sake. Why don't you just teach your children the truth?
Amen.
Don't expect them to understand why they don't do things that their friends do. They're different.
Yes.
They're your children.
Right.
You're a Bible believer.
Right.
Don't be concerned about whether your children don't understand the ways of the world. How are you going to, if you lived in Africa, would you let somebody take their firstborn and throw it to a crocodile? Well, the other little children might not understand that. So try explaining that one to your oldest child, that the firstborn, it's a tradition among us in our tribe, that we feed the oldest child, the firstborn, to an alligator. Do you want to let your children understand that?
Come on, man.
Well, it's the same when you can't tell them the difference between Santa Claus.
Yeah.
Amen.
Or an Easter rabbit. You see, the truth is that mom and daddy enjoy Santa Claus. They like Easter bunnies. Well, the White House has Easter egg roll. Why can't we have one? Because we're not heathens.
Amen.
We know the gospel.
Yes.
Right.
Now, you may think, well, Brother Green, you're being awful hard. Well, I'll quote Brother Branham on this. He said, I'd rather scorch you than let you burn.
Yeah.
How many of you want me to scorch you
Amen.
Rather than let you burn?
Right.
I love you. I had a brother tell me this morning that he knows that I love you because of the way I preach to you. I really appreciate that. So I guess Mother and Daddy used to tell me when they was chastising me with a belt or a water hose or whatever Mother could get her hands on, they would say, I'm doing this because I love you. It hurts me worse than it does you. And I as a child would think, well, why are you doing it then? You see, sometimes we don't understand the love of our parents. But I'd rather God chasten me now.
Yes.
Amen. Than me to have to face it on Judgment Day.
Right.
Let me tell you what's going to be the sad thing, though. There's going to be some people that they don't pay any attention to the chastening now. And they're going to stand that day and say, well, why didn't somebody tell me? And they said, we did. You just didn't hear it.
Right.
Can you imagine being told that something's wrong and you do it deliberately anyhow? We're doing a study on the mark of the beast right now. Brother Branham makes the statement that you can have the mark of the beast and not even know you got it.
That's correct.
That's serious.
Yes.
Oh yeah, I don't know. Brother Branham said you wouldn't. We're going to have to study that one now so that you won't take the mark of the beast. And he gets very close to saying if you take it, there's no redemption from it. And that's refusing the teaching of the Holy Ghost in your life. We have talked about the first and the second coming. This third coming is when he comes back to set up his millennial reign on earth. And that's in Revelation 19. Now, I don't know why, but maybe I'm a little prejudiced toward this, but the only thing that the seventh seal gives us as an attribute or description is silence in heaven.
Right.
It doesn't say anything else. It just says there's silence in heaven for 1.5 hours. And I've heard the teachings that 18 years is silent, equal to 1/2 hour and these things. But I hear Brother Branham a number of times say that the reason that heaven is silent that 1/2 hour is because there's nobody there. They're all with the Lord coming back on earth to set up a millennial kingdom. So I say this without apologizing, that if you believe what Brother Branham says, the seventh seal has to be his third coming. He says it's the coming of the Lord. And it's when he returns to set up his millennial kingdom on this earth. As I said, there's been developments. There's been understanding. We know about it. We've also, in this message, I think, been taught by Brother Branham that there is a difference in the appearing of Christ and the coming of the Lord. And an appearing is when the Son of Man reveals himself and does the works of Christ in you.
Yes.
And Brother Bram says a lot about it, and enough so that we'll have a sermon on it. But the Bible says in Acts 1:11 that this same Jesus shall so come again in like manner. Jesus even talks about, just as the Father and I are one, you will be one with God.
Amen.
The Word, the revelation, when God starts appearing to people.
Amen.
Now, there's different aspects of the rapture. In the rapture tape, Brother Bram talks and compares it to a Roman candle. Goes off and explodes again, and even when he preached the seals, he talked about three parts of it.
Right.
Two parts he could understand, the third part said he didn't understand it. He couldn't preach it.
Right.
But let me remind you that one of these sermons that I brought you about clarification was, is that what was Brother Bram's commission?
Yes.
Now, we believe him to be a prophet with the spirit of Elijah, like Malachi 4, 5 and 6. Turn the hearts of the children back to the fathers. But what was that commission on June the 11th, 1933? You, your message, will forerun the second coming of the Lord.
Amen.
And in that number of times, during the time that Brother Bram was delivering that message, he reminds us that that's what his message was to do. He said, even if I don't see the Lord, this message will call out the bride.
Amen.
He says, there come a time when this bride will be in unity. And it will be around this message. That's the place where I think we need to put it. Now, that's sort of a review of what I've said to you so far. Now, in a preview for the month of November, and the Lord willing, I'm going to preach tonight and Wednesday night. I'm going to stay on this as long as the Lord gives me strength until I get it all said. I believe that there is an appointed time. And that's going to be our topic this morning. An appointed time. I believe that there is an appearing and a coming of the Lord. I believe there's a time where we're instructed to be ready and waiting. How many of you believe that?
Amen.
We've been taught to watch and pray. If it's not something that we are to know or understand, then why are we told to watch? Why are we told to be ready? The Lord willing, that'll be the subject tonight. Ready and waiting. Now, in preview of tonight, I want to remind you of some things so that if you have time this afternoon, which I think you'll have if you'll take time, I want you to notice the parables that Jesus gives about this. So that tonight I won't have to tell them in detail, but you'll already reread them. Let me give you one that Brother Branham gives. How many of you know what I'm talking about when I remind you of the story that Brother Bram told about the meatpacker's son?
Yeah. Amen.
Any of you have never heard that story? Am I going to need to repeat it in detail? Well, for two or three of you there, I will. I'll outline it tonight. But the rest of you know the story of the meatpacker's son. How many of you have heard the story of the 10 virgins? Five wise, five foolish, some were ready, some were not. Let me ask you to read that story in your Bible again today. What about the parable of the talents? Where the man gave 10, 5, 2, and 1. What about the times when Jesus said, watch and pray. Be ye ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. That's the reason I think it's important that I be a faithful minister and remind you again that Jesus said, watch and pray. Be ready. Be waiting. And I'll give you quotes of Brother Bram's tonight where he said how anxious you should be about it. Not every month, not every week, Not just once or twice a year, but every hour, every minute of every day.
Yes.
Amen.
Looking, watching, waiting.
Yes, Lord.
This could be the minute.
Yes.
That the Lord could come.
Amen.
Now, after today, with the appointed time this morning, and ready and waiting tonight, I think one of the most important things that we can be watching for is the resurrection.
Amen. Yes, sir.
And I think in connection with that resurrection, there is an earthquake.
Amen. Yes.
I think that after that resurrection, there's going to be a body change. There's going to be a translation.
Amen.
In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye.
Amen.
Brother Branham tells us very plainly how the rapture will be. But I want to remind you when I get to that phase of it, just how quick it can happen. So that if somebody comes along and tells you the rapture is past, you can look and say, well, Brother Branham said this is going to happen, and I didn't see that.
Yep.
Now, he does talk about it could pass and you wouldn't know it. But you see, I'm not talking to people who don't know it. I'm talking to people who claim they know it.
Amen.
That's right.
Yes.
Amen.
Hallelujah. It's those people who come along and tell me it's already occurred. And I'd say, well, did you know Brother Branham said this? And he said this. And he said this will happen. Well, did that happen? Well, if not, then you're wrong.
Yeah.
Brother Branham himself says, can anybody tell me how long the twinkle of an eye is? Can anybody time it? How will the rapture be? Well, Brother Branham says there's only one thing left. You see, he does say that before the rapture, that the Son of Man has already come.
Yes.
From glory. And is revealing himself these past few years.
Yes, sir.
Now, if there's some people who want to talk about the Lord appearing happening, I say amen.
Amen.
But I ask this very seriously. When did he start appearing? And most of the people who major on this fact will tell you that at the opening of the seals. But I don't want to disturb you. But I want to bring you some quotes from 57, 58, 59, where the Lord said, where Brother Branham said, the Lord is appearing now.
Right.
Well, that's before the seals.
Yes.
So don't tell me that the seals was the appearing of the Lord. Don't tell me, well, you can tell me, but I'm not going to believe you. You can tell me that the cloud was the appearing of the Lord. But then you got to explain to me how Brother Branham says in 1957, 58, 59, 60, 61, that the Lord is appearing now.
Right.
So, some will say, well, when Brother Branham's ministry started. Well, that's not exactly what Brother Branham says. Brother Branham says when God starts using you.
Yes.
Yeah.
Amen.
So, to some of you, he may never appear. Because you haven't believed it enough for it to happen to you. Now, that's the preview for November. If we survive it and the Lord tarries, we'll give you December's later. But this morning I want to cover the subject at the appointed time. Now, Jesus said, no man knows the time, nor the hour.
Right.
He did say, we'll know the seasons. Jesus, when in Matthew 24, when he's given about the time and so forth, and he said, learn a parable from the fig tree. When you see the fig tree put forth her leaves, and that's always been a representative, a type of Israel.
Yes. Amen.
And Israel became a nation in 48.
Yes.
And we see today in the United Nations that there's one people still wanting to be a nation. They're still wanting to be a tree, because that parable says, and all the other trees, and we've seen the United Nations grow from 45 countries, or 49 nations, up to 198. The Commonwealth broke up, and they all became independent nations, and Canada and Singapore, and all of them are no longer part of the Commonwealth of England. They are independent countries. And they're a tree. They've got their own government, their own ambassadors, their own money. And we've seen that all but the Palestinians. And they're one that there was no claim for this until 67. Until 1967, the West Bank and all was part of the nation of Jordan. And about a third of those people there still claim to be citizens of Jordan. And they can't even agree themselves. Gaza wants to be one, West Bank wants to be one, Jordan wants to be another. And this is a constant reminder. And a lot of the people in politics will tell you that it's the greatest controversy there is in the world. And the other day when President Obama was given the Nobel Peace Prize, he's now under obligation to settle the and make the peace in the Middle East. And so if you take the Time magazine, the issue of October the 26th, it laid out five things that Obama must insist that Israel and the Palestinians agree to. And the fifth one was Israel, Jerusalem, will become an international city. You ever read the Bible where it says, and he shall make peace with many nations? And there's to come one, he'll come and set himself up as God. And all people will come there to worship. I see Scripture being fulfilled.
Yeah.
Even the third world nations and all in the United Nations are now agreeing. Yes! We've got to let Jerusalem be an internet. And when all nations gather against her, then what happens? When they say peace and safety, then comes sudden destruction.
Yes. Yeah.
I can't even get the two major tour companies of Israel right now to discuss a date with me about a tour for possibly 400 tourists next March, because they don't want to book anything that big because they have to put up deposits and they're not sure they'll be able to fulfill that on those dates because there's such turmoil.
Yeah.
Rocks are flying. Tempers are flared. You can make an agreement today and tomorrow it don't mean a thing. And so they won't give me a contract right now. It's never been that way before. I say it's just another sign. We need to be ready and waiting.
Amen.
I think the appointed time is very soon.
Yes.
Now, let's go to 1959, April the 17th. It's Jehovah Jireh in Los Angeles. Paragraph 37. But all of us got eternal life. God will bring with him at the coming of Christ.
Amen.
And you'll resurrect, not an old man or woman, not a little bitty baby, but you'll resurrect to the perfect young man and young woman of about 22 or 23 years old. You'll be like that forever in the presence of God. That's exactly the truth.
Amen.
There is a time when that's going to happen.
Thank you, Lord.
Now, Brother Bram said, the angels of heaven don't know that, but there's going to be a resurrection. And that resurrection is going to occur before the rapture. Let's go to the breach. In 1963, on March the 17th in the evening, did you give me the paragraph? Well, it must be paragraph 89. Now, when he became man in order he could take our sin upon him and pay the price and redeem us back to God again, there it is. There is the Redeemer. Christ has redeemed us now. We're now redeemed. How many of you say amen?
Amen.
But he has not claimed his possession yet.
Right.
Now, you might differ with that, but just hold on a minute. We'll see. Paragraph 90. He hasn't claimed it. See, if he took the book of redemption, everything that Adam had and everything that he lost, Christ redeems back. And he's already redeemed us, but he hasn't took the possession yet. He cannot until the time appointed.
Yes.
That's the reason I say upon the authority of Brother Branham's quotes in God's Word, there is an appointed time.
Yes.
And then will come the resurrection. And then the earth will be renewed again. And then he will take possession. His possession which he got when he redeemed us. But we'll do it at the appointed time.
Amen.
You believe there's an appointed time.
Amen.
All right, let's go to Christ, the Mystery of God Revealed, 1963, July the 28th, paragraph 523. And the body must follow the head as the wife follows the husband. I'd like to just toss this out here. Men and wives, look at your family and see if this is the type you want the bride to follow in your family. Do you want the husband to follow the wife to follow the husband with Christ the way it's arranged in your family? You see, I think God made that a very important thing. As God's the head of Christ, and Christ the head of man, man is the head of woman. Now, he says, I speak unto you a great mystery. But this is Christ and his church.
Yeah.
The relationship that you and your wife or you and your husband have, is that the relationship you want God and Christ and the bride to have? That's the way you can tell whether you got it right in your family or not. If it's something that you think, well, yes, that's the way Christ is going to be with the bride. And husbands, I'll say this to you. If you're the head and she's the bride, do you want Christ to treat you the way you treat her?
Right. Amen.
Now, we stop and understand that marriage is something that God ordained. And he set up a pattern to it. We'd find out then why Brother Branham told me that 85% of the people who come to him for an interview come to him because of a domestic problem. And I hate to say it, but it's still the same thing. Even after this message with all the revelation of the seals and marriage and divorce and everything else, our major problem is how to get along with the one you say you love the most. Your husband, your wife. Brother Branham said then 10% of the people that come to him in an interview, they want to use him like a Ouija board. Well, Brother Branham, where's the oil? Where'd I lose my purse? What job am I supposed to have? He said only 5% of the people come to him with a real spiritual question.
Yeah.
Now, as a pastor for 54 years in this message, or 45 years, I'll be pastor of this church 44 years, the 14th of this month. This day in 1965, I left Beaumont, Texas, coming this way. 3 days later, I got here. On the 14th of November, we had the first worship service in Tucson Tabernacle at 560 South Stone. We've been here 44 years. There was a crowd then of 200 or 300 people. I sincerely look at it this morning and I say, have we grown any? Are we more ready today than we were in 65?
Come on.
I'm going to tell you the truth. I think we had a greater anticipation of the coming of the Lord in November of 65 than we've got today in this message. Now, Brother Branham had preached the California earthquake and people were all wondering, should they move? Should they not move? Are they going to move? Are they not going to do this? And they were asking Brother Branham every time they got a chance, Brother Branham, should I do this, do that? And Brother Branham said, I think if it was me and my family, we'd get out. And I want to ask you this. Do you think there's any importance to what Brother Branham said about the earthquake in California? Because look at it like this. If Brother Branham had not given that prophecy in April of 65, how many of you people from California would be here this morning? Brother Vernon, would you have moved? Brother Vernon Harris? Without the California earthquake prophecy, would you and Ruby have moved to Tucson? You don't know. But what motive would you have had to move? Gary Vogel?
That's why I moved.
That's why you moved. Anybody else from California can answer that for me? That's why you moved?
I moved.
That Sister Peterman, that's reading you moved?
Yes.
Well then,
and the church would be in the church here too.
Thank God for the prophecy of the earthquake. Or we wouldn't have Tucson Tabernacle here this morning, would we? I think of this. I don't think the Petersons would have moved. I don't think Brother Kenny Phillips would have moved. So Arnie and Rachel and all these kids wouldn't be here. Aldersons? Y'all were latecomers, but that California earthquake prophecy still had an influence on you. Now, I came from Texas. You understand what I'm saying? You don't realize sometimes how these things have affected your life. Go back and say, would I have done this? The Marriotts, would you have been here, Sam? I don't think so. But how many of you thank God for a prophecy?
Amen.
It's going to happen. Now, I'm not looking forward to the judgment of God on California, but I'll tell you this. I believe I can show you in Brother Branham's message, which I will when I get to the resurrection part of this, that there's going to be an earthquake.
Yes.
And California is going to sink. There's an appointed time for it.
Amen.
The body must follow the head as the wife follows the husband. Being that Adam was not deceived, he walked out with Eve. Eve was deceived. She was in the transgression, or the entire resurrection of the whole body would have come forth at the day of the Lord Jesus, when he come forth from the grave. But he had to redeem her, which is his body. She has to be redeemed in order to come to him.
Yes.
Do you see it?
Amen.
See, it couldn't have happened then. The redemption is going on.
Yes.
Right.
Now you see the seals when he was in the mediatorial work back there, redeeming, but someday he comes forth to get this book that he's redeemed.
Yes.
And all that's in this book would be him.
Amen.
For that's the believer.
Yes.
The word's in the book. And the word is him.
Hallelujah.
And all that's in that. He came forth for the book of redemption, whose names are written on the book before the foundation of the world, when he was slain as a lamb.
Amen.
And here he is today in his word, manifesting the same thing he did there. She can't recognize another headship. No, sir. There's no bishop, no nothing. She recognizes one headship. That's Christ. And Christ is the word. Oh, my. I love that. Yes, yes, sir. How many of you felt Brother Branham was quite passionate about that? I love that. Do you really love the thought of that?
Amen.
I will tell you this. I don't think you will find any place in Brother Branham's message where he was more emotional or more passionate than when he talks about Christ taking this book, that nobody else was worthy to take that book.
That's right. Amen.
But now, if you put that in past tense for everybody, and I want you to know he didn't preach that until 63. So everybody that came in after that wasn't in the book. These people who have all of this occurring and give their own interpretation to it, and it becomes partially digested food.
Yeah.
I wonder how God looks down and he says, that wasn't on my menu. I'm a better cook than that. I've got more wholesome food than that. You should understand that there's mercy before there's judgment. Now, there is an appointed time when these things are going to be fulfilled. Just as the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world, just as by His stripes you are healed. Brother Bram says he can't do it now, he's already done it. But you look forward to that time, really, when that word becomes reality and that pain goes away. He has already come. He's here now.
Yes.
But there is that time when it's fulfilled.
Amen.
The appearing of Christ and the coming of Christ are two different things. Let's go to things that are to be, and I want you to realize 1965, December the 5th. Now, this is one night after he preached the rapture. He released this tape. It's paragraph 14. And I believe that's the same thing we live in today. God bearing record of His Word by vindicating what He said He would do. Now, we know that this is the day of salvation, where God is calling men from the world, from a life of sin unto a life of service. And in the day that God has poured out His Spirit from on high, great signs and wonders are to accompany the ministry of this day.
Yes.
This is when the former and the latter rain are falling together. And we know that there's supposed to be great signs and wonders, which in so many great denominations that is turned down. But I'm very thankful for these open doors that I've had to go into and the inspiration it's given to young men like your pastor here that's caused them. And I'm beginning to get old and know that my days are numbered. And know now that these young men can take this message and sweep it on to the coming of the Lord.
Amen.
After one day after the rapture.
Yes.
Tape. If He doesn't come in my generation, which I'm hoping to see Him, I look daily for Him. Watch, keeping myself prepared for that hour.
Right. Amen.
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 Yes,
amen. Now let's go back to 1958. March the 9th, will the church go before the tribulation? Preached in Jeffersonville, Indiana. And I want you to notice now, because we have to cut short here on account of the prayer line. Did you notice what the angel said? I can't do nothing till you come hither. That's what the angel said to Lot. What was it? It was a message of deliverance. And before one speck of fire could fall from heaven, Lot had to get out of Sodom. And before one drop of rain fell from heaven, Noah went into the ark. And before the atom bomb can strike this nation, the church will go in the rapture to meet the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
And if the Sputniks and the missiles are set and the hammers are pulled back, the angels are all standing in order. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The great quarters of heaven is crowded full. The harps are all in tune. The great bands are already practiced up. There's a homecoming time pretty soon for the church of the living God who's been waiting His coming.
Amen.
Everything's in order. I'm so glad. I'm getting so tired. Oh, for that great hour. And to think that we've had a part in this junction time. Remember, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man, when the Son of Man is being revealed from heaven. Now remember, before the rain fell, Noah was in the ark. Before the fire fell, Lot was out of Sodom. For the angel said, I can't do nothing until you come hither. I've got the lever in my hand to pull and make the fires fall from heaven.
Yes.
And I think that's exactly. The angel of destruction is holding the hand of Russia with the atomic bombs until the church comes together as one great body of Christ. I want to say something right there. You know, we sometimes think about, well, Russia's a weak power and it's done this and that. But do you remember the seven things that happened in the 33 vision?
Amen.
Watch Russia.
Right.
And everybody say, watch them for a while and stop watching them.
No.
Watch Russia.
Amen.
Watch Russia. Wait till they go down after that oil.
Yep.
What are they doing, folks? I still say, watch Russia.
Amen.
Watch Russia. I can't do nothing till you come hither. Oh, if that isn't a blessed assurance, and if we see everything set in order, the going home of the church is in order. Here's the angel of God with the same message, performing the same signs, the same wonders, everything set in order. Now, when was this? 58. That's not after the seals. This is 58. Now let's go to spiritual food in due season, which is 65, July the 18th, paragraph 167. Now, if he appeared to us in a physical body, looked just exactly like Hoffman's head of Christ at 33, and blood running out of his hand and so forth, nail scars all over him, I wouldn't accept it.
Amen.
No. When he comes himself, every eye shall see him. Every tongue shall confess him. And as the lightning cometh from the east unto the west, so shall it be. See? We don't believe these cults and clans. We believe God is the Word.
Amen.
Now, when is this every eye, every tongue?
Yeah.
Revelations 1:7.
Right.
We'll get to that in a minute. But he embodies himself, taking your body and my body, and gives you gifts, gives me gifts. And through these gifts, he makes himself known. That's the secret food. No matter how much he would make himself known by me, you've got to believe it. You know, there were people that were there in Jerusalem the day of the resurrection and didn't believe it. Their friends came and told them, hey, he's risen. I saw him. And they left town. He appeared to two of them on the road to Emmaus. And told them himself. They still didn't believe it until he broke bread. And they said, that's just the way Jesus did it. See, these people who want to talk about Brother Branham being the Lord Jesus, and that's how come they believe he's come. I've said, I can agree with them if it claims something for themselves. I believe the way you're going to know that Jesus has appeared to this age is you're going to have faith in your heart to believe that God's Word has been fulfilled in your own life.
Amen.
I'm going to say this to you because it's the truth whether you believe it or not. Wednesday night, about 1 o'clock in the morning, I'd gone to bed about 11. I awakened. And folks, there was such a wonderful presence in my bedroom that I actually thought I had been raptured. I got up and went into the Janice's bedroom to see if she was still there. When I had my trouble with my gallbladder several years ago, they gave me some pain pills. And I have experienced a chemical high. I've never been drunk. But I had what they'd call a high because of those pills. I want you to know what I felt Wednesday night was much more glorious.
Yes.
Now, I would have liked to have left here. But if you haven't experienced that, I want you to know there is an experience you can have.
Yes.
That will make this coming of the Lord so real to you. Until every hour since Wednesday night, I've been expecting that to come again. And I almost felt like I'd be like Enoch, walk off of this earth. I actually thought about walking from the bedroom to Janice's end of the house, that my foot wouldn't go down. I'd just start walking away.
Amen.
Folks, it's real.
Yes.
It's real. I know it's real.
Amen.
And when I've stopped this week and thought about why? did I experience that? I know what I've been feeding myself for the last 3 weeks. I've been reading these quotes over and over and looking at the scriptures. And I want you to know, I want that to be our goal. I want us to get to the place to where we know that we know we know.
Yes.
There's going to be a time when we tell this old world goodbye.
Amen.
Still got the same problems, still got the same aches and pains and so forth and everything. But I want you to know, none of that meant a thing.
Amen.
Wednesday night. Thursday morning. Come go with me, folks. It's a wonderful experience.
Yes.
I can recommend it.
Yes.
How many of you want to be real in your heart?
Amen.
In your life. Regardless of what's happening out there, you know where you stand with God with it.
Yes.
That's the spiritual food in due season. Did we get through with that one? Did we finish the end of that one? Well, don't take it down till I get through with it. I've only got four more. But I want to go back to spiritual food, due season. Paragraph 157. You trying to get me to quit? Or speed it up? I thought it was going to be short myself this morning, but when he comes himself, every eye shall see him, every tongue will confess him. The lightning cometh from the east unto the west, so shall it be. We don't believe these cults and clans. That's where I was. We believe God is the Word, but he embodies himself, taking your body and my body, and gives you gifts, gives me gifts. And through these gifts, he makes himself known. That's the secret food. No matter how much he would make himself known by me, you've got to believe it. You've got to have a gift of faith, too, to believe it.
Amen.
Do you believe that?
Yes.
And now, if he will manifest himself in that manner, will you believe him? With all your heart, you'll believe him? How wonderful. Just waiting on him. Just waiting to see what he says. I'll take these other five tonight. I'm sorry. No, I'm not. Sorry. I'll stop lying to you about that, too. Come go with me, folks. You say, Brother Green, how can I have that experience? Feed yourself this.
Amen.
Feed this.
Amen.
Take it and eat it.
Amen.
It may be bitter to the belly, but it'll sure do the heart some good.
Amen.
Look up.
Hallelujah.
Our redemption draweth nigh.
Amen.
We are in those days.
Amen.
Jesus Christ has appeared. He showed himself to us.
Amen.
Not just in Brother Branham. But in manifestation of God in you.
Yes. Amen.
We can't heal anybody. But I'll tell you this right now. If there's any sick among you, the prayer of faith will save the sick. And that evil spirit that's got you feeling bad cannot stay there while we pray for you.
Amen.
You praise God and claim it for healing. You leave here doing it. And there'll not be a sick one leave here this morning.
Amen.
I appreciate God this morning, don't you?
Amen.
Let's stand together. Heavenly Father, how great you are in our hearts today.
Yes.
How great is our God.
Amen.
How great is our God. How great is His Word. He's the greatest one that ever was heard. Water of the mighty Red Sea, and he said, I will lead you, put your trust in me. And again, how great is our God, how great is his word, he's the greatest one that ever was heard. He rolled back the water of the mighty Red Sea, and he said, I will lead you, but you trust in me.
5 o'clock tonight, the Lord willing,
We'll talk to you about ready and waiting. And I promise you it won't be that long. There's only about 11 quotes with it. Then we'll wash one another's feet and take the Lord's Supper together.
Amen.
You realize how important that is to us also?
Yes.
As you go this morning, Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. Heavenly Father, I appreciate you. God bless you. Some of you brothers help them with the pans and so forth this morning. Appreciate you. I love you. One more time as you go. Heavenly Father. Hallelujah. God bless you.